series this morning with our fourth gift of Christmas. My first question is for our younger people. It's okay. Any of our younger people, and by younger, anyone younger than me is okay. Somebody know what these three things have in common? Younger people in our audience, shout it out. They are symbols of peace. They're all very different, but over this past previous century, they all became associated with peace. The first one at the top, in purple, was developed by a British artist activist named Gerald Holtam in 1958. And this emblem was based on the flag semaphores. So the two downward lines are part of the letter D, and then the upward line is the letter N, or I might have those backwards. Anyone know semaphore and know if I just mix those up? Okay, well, one of them is one and the other is the other. Sorry about that. But it's the two letters N and D, of course, for peace. Anyone know what N and D stand for in 1958? Nuclear disarmament. So this symbol became something that they used to talk about protesting the making of nuclear weapons. And then it came to the United States. It moved across the pond, and it became broader in the civil rights movement, and it became an anti-war symbol for those opposed to the Vietnam War. How about the two fingers raised in what looks like the number two? What else could that be? V for victory. This was something used by the resistance fighters in occupied German territory, a symbol of strength. And then, of course, Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of England, held up his two very big fingers and said, "We are praying for victory." And that became a symbol. How does peace come from victory? It's by defeating the enemies of darkness. And of course, that became also adopted as an anti-war symbol, not only in the United States, but around the world. And today it's used even more probably in selfies and photos. If you're online, you see kids doing it in various methods around the clock. But the original V was for victory. And of course, victory for the good guys brings peace. How about the dove? The dove holding an olive branch. That's actually the oldest of the symbols, and that's something right from the Bible. When Noah finally came to rest, the ark rested on Mount Ararat, and he sent out birds to see if life was out there. The ground was completely still covered with water, and when the dove returned with an olive branch, that was a symbol that there was new life and that there was peace from this destructive force of a global flood. All three of these symbols are very different, but they're all the same, not only in that they show a desperate need for peace, but they came out of a troubled time. It was not when everything was going great that people developed symbols for peace. It was when they were in war, when they were in strife, when they were looking for new life after the devastation of the flood. In each of those times, people looked for peace. And this morning we open the fourth of our Christmas gifts, the gift of peace. Peace is defined as the freedom from disturbance, quiet, and tranquility. It's a cessation of war, or a cessation, an ending of strife. That's what brings us peace. Those are exactly the opposite of what we think about, because we just want things to be quiet. But it's quiet from what? It's quiet from all the noise and the turmoil. And so when God said he was offering peace to the world, it was in a very tumultuous time. Yeah, tumultuous. There's no R in there. That the peace of Christmas came. Sleep in heavenly peace is part of the song Silent Night. It brings calm and soothing, peaceful images as we think of that little baby sleeping peacefully. But that little baby was not in a crib, in a warm, dry house. That little baby was surrounded, probably, by animal noises. He was hearing the outside noises, and still there was peace. That was the world that Jesus came to. There was a divide between God and people. There was conflict among families and nations. There was political unrest between Rome and just about everybody else, specifically the nation of Israel, as they were an occupied land. They were in the midst of basically an invasion, and that's the peace that Jesus brought. And then Mary and Joseph themselves, they were on an arduous journey. We think about our travels coming up this week, and maybe some, well, I know some of our people are already traveling. I'm glad that they're not doing it in snow this morning. But the travels that Mary and Joseph were making, this was the first Christmas trip, right? They were called by the Roman census to travel far from their home to be counted so that the Romans knew exactly how many Jews were there. And here's a very pregnant Mary with her husband. Did you know the Bible doesn't tell us she was riding on a donkey? That's just a tradition. We hope that Joseph came up with an easier way for her to get there, but they could have been walking all those miles, trying to get there in time. She's pregnant, and now it's time for the baby to come, and they don't even have a place, a warm, dry place, so they end up out back in the stable. Jesus, the Messiah, was and is the Prince of Peace. And as he came to this world, it was just as the prophet Isaiah foretold. I forgot to put my tabs in, so I'm going to read from the screen. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is one of the most beautiful names that we have for our Savior, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is not just a symbol of peace, he is peace. And he offers us the gift of peace this Advent season. This was part of his original birth announcement made by the angels. And for that, we're over in the familiar Christmas passage, Luke 2. Let me read just a couple of those verses to you. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace is coming to God's people in this time of the year. If you've been able to join us for the past 3 weeks, you know that we've been on a journey as well. The journey through Advent to Christmas Day. And those of you that have been here have heard me say it over and over again. Advent comes from Latin adventus, which means somebody was listening. What's it mean? Coming, thank you. It means the coming or the arrival. And the season of Advent is marked by expectation. It's marked by waiting and longing, by anticipation. Peeking under the tree. What are those gifts? Which ones are for me? What shape is that? Is it what I wanted? Or is it socks? Unless you wanted socks. Some people are excited about that. The excitement may be building in your house, especially if there are little ones, or if you just like gifts and you're excited about what your family members maybe got for you, and the excitement of giving gifts. As we get older, we realize that that's sometimes even more fun than getting them, just seeing the joy and seeing the faces of our loved ones when we're able to bless them with a gift. We're almost there. Christmas is just a few days away, and that's the time when, as Jake said, we remember that he is the whole reason for this season. We still say Merry Christmas. because it's Christ that we're celebrating. Today, the Kachelmeyer family lit the fourth candle, the candle of peace. And Advent is a season for us to allow God's peace to infiltrate our hearts, to go deeper, not only to our hearts, but into our minds and our thoughts as we prepare for Christmas, so that on that day that we're celebrating Christ's birth and not just our family traditions. Those are great, and they're good things to join together our hearts as a family and with friends. But the real focus needs to be on Jesus. He is our peace. Our world is really not a whole lot different from the one that Jesus stepped into nearly 2,000 or over 2,000 years ago. If you think about it, with all of our technological advances, our fast-paced lives have gotten less peaceful. The things that were supposed to make our lives easier, like microwaves and automatic dishwashers, instead just make us cram in more stuff. You ever think about that? We rush to get those things ready to start, and then we just keep doing more and more and more. And we're missing out on slowing down and enjoying life. It gets tiring, doesn't it? Christmas is kind of now the home stretch. It's like you're thinking, okay, what's left on the list? What do I still have to do? Instead of, how can I just enjoy this time with my family? How can I focus on Christ? I've been enjoying the Advent readings. I hope you took one of those books home. But just to start the day with some scripture and start the day focusing again on why we're celebrating. The scenery and the process of daily life today looks very different than it did for Mary and Joseph. Preparing a meal took a third of the day, and that's basically how the day went. They got ready for breakfast, and by the time breakfast was done, they probably started working on lunch because they were baking and making everything fresh. Wouldn't that be amazing? Having fresh bread at every meal and fresh meat and fresh vegetables, if you like vegetables. That would be so good. But we've said, well, we're better than that. We can just pop things in the microwave. There's something to be said for that. Our world still rages with wars and violence. The song that we sang this morning, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," was written. Was it World War I, Mark? I remember you talking about that one of our Christmases.
In relation to the Civil War.
Civil War. Okay, even further back. We've lost that connection of bells and peace. But for the generations before us, the church bells rang out when war ended and when there was peace. But when I hear a bell, I don't automatically just think of peace. But for many generations, that was it. They heard the bells of the church chiming. And in that song, the bells on Christmas Day were a reminder that even though our world still continues to fight, even though sin still continues to tear people further apart from each other and from God, the peace that Christmas brought is something so much deeper and more long-lasting. We can find peace with God. We can find peace within, and we can find peace to come. I don't know if you've ever seen this next slogan, but sometimes it's on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker. And if you look at the coloring of the letters, you can read, "No God," with a K, "no peace." And then if you read just the white letters, it says, "No God, no peace." Jake was talking about clever phrases before. This is one that you stop and think about. If you know God, you can have peace. But if you think that there is no God, and you have no connection, no relationship with God, you will truly have no peace. Not only no peace with Him, but no peace with yourself, no peace with life. It's easy for us to associate Christ's life and work in earth, particularly with salvation. But the Apostle Paul made a point of talking about the importance of the peace that he brought. And that's the passage that Len read for us this morning. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I didn't count them, but I think we have hope, love, joy, and peace. All four of them are in just those two verses. We have the word rejoice, we have God's love, we have peace with God, and we have hope. Those are the gifts of Christmas. Salvation that Jesus brought by dying on the cross for our sins brought peace, not only with God, but peace for eternity. From the time that sin first entered the world all the way back in the Garden of Eden, people have been separated from God. Our sins and God's holiness are just not compatible. Not only can we not enter into his presence, but we can't communicate with him. We can't hear his perfect voice. We can't hear his wisdom when the evils and the ravages of sin are deafening us and making us blind. They're not at peace. They're at conflict. And that's why there's no conflict on earth that can compare to this need for peace between God and his creation. That's the reason that God sent his Son. That's the reason we celebrate Christmas, is that Jesus came to bring peace. This was God's ultimate redemption story that he started from the very beginning. This world that he created, so beautiful and so perfect, was destroyed by sin. But God gave us hope that it would all be restored. And the beginning of that was the restoration of perfect relationship with him through his own sacrifice. When we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, when we accept his salvation and forgiveness, our sins are removed. God's view of us is now through Christ's righteousness, and we have a restored relationship. We have peace with God. We're no longer afraid to talk to him. We can call him Father, and he can look down at us and say, "Welcome, my children, to your eternal home. Welcome back to the family that he created." We are right with God in our unity, in our identity, and in our purpose. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 14 say, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ." This is before you're a believer. "You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Jesus brings us eternal peace with the Creator, the God of the universe. And that's a gift that you can receive this season. It's not just the temporary peace of, oh, isn't it nice when kids are finally to bed and you can put on the Christmas lights and just sit quietly for a moment? That is just momentary. You know that that peace can be interrupted at any moment by a flooding toilet or a broken window or anything else that could come along. If that's the peace we're looking for, it's going to be so short-lived. But peace with your Heavenly Father is the thing that lasts through every stage of our lives. We are his when we accept the offer of his salvation. That peace within is what brings us into relationship with God. There's so many things in this world that draw us away, that drag us away from the real purpose in knowing him. But God knows that unrest that we feel within ourselves. He made you, and he knows your deepest thoughts. He knows the hurts that you're carrying even now. As you sit here with us fellowshipping and singing together, some of you are hurting because of family members. You're hurting because of job situations. You're hurting because of finances. So many things may be weighing on you. God knows those things. He knows that you need peace, and He knows the broken world around us that's clamoring and disturbing your peace. Paul offered these encouraging words to the church of Philippi. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful promise. But it's a rich practice. It's something that we need to do. God's peace transcends all understanding. It defies our world. It defies our circumstances. When everything going on around us is not bringing us peace, that's when God's peace shows itself even more strong. Have you experienced that? When someone says, how can you have peace at a time like this? And you say, I don't understand it, but I'm leaning on God right now. I'm trusting Him, and I'm just not as worried as I was. As soon as I brought these things to Him in prayer, as soon as I thanked Him for my blessings, that weight was lifted from me. Have you experienced that? That peace that passes all understanding? It doesn't make sense. I should be worried about these things, but I'm not. I praise God for those moments because they are more than I can handle. If you think about the things that are happening in your life, in the lives of your loved ones, and you see them drooping under the weight of the world's struggles, the peace that Jesus offers passes all understanding. God is stronger and bigger and more capable of handling anything that is in your life than you are. This peace is calm, it's restorative, but it's also strong and active. It has the power to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's strong enough to defy your worst nightmares with the knowledge that God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He knows what's happening, and not only can He take those weights from you, but He can guard your heart from even worrying about them to begin with. When we are in the practice of coming to Him with not only thanksgiving, but just saying, God, I need You today, to humbly say, I can't do this. I don't know what lays ahead of me this day or even this week, but I know that You can handle it better than I can. He cares, and He won't leave us to struggle alone. This is not just a formula. This is not three things to do and then all of your problems will be gone. But it's living a life of prayer and thanksgiving. It's recognizing that God is the source not only of our strength and our hope, but He's the source of our peace. We need to remember that God gave the gift of peace in the form of a person, His Son, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The verse just before this passage, verse 5, says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. That's an important starting point, recognizing that it's Jesus' presence with us that helps us to not be anxious. He's the reason that we have peace within. The name that was given to Mary was Emmanuel, God with us. Not just God for us or God saving us, but God with us. And when we live our lives knowing that God is with us, that changes our perspective on all of these things. Peace comes as a result of transformation as we experience the Holy Spirit filling us, guiding us, and leading us to remember God's promises. I listed James 4 as another passage, and this is something that if you want to look at even further, we don't have time for it this morning. But James, the brother of Jesus, said, if you're wondering what causes conflicts, what's going on in my life? Why do I have all of these problems? It's the war within yourself. It's the striving of my own desires, the unhealthy sin that says, I need to get taken care of first. I need for me to be well before I think about other people. That's what the world tells us. You can't love others until you love yourself. Well, God's taking care of that. God is loving me enough. I don't have to worry about that. I need to focus on other people, just like Jesus did. He said, I came to serve, not to be served. So if you want to read the beginning of James 4, it says, humble yourself, submit to God, and he will give you grace to find complete peace. The conflicts in your life, the conflicts with other people, are all because we have conflict in our hearts by not focusing outward. And finally, we have peace to come. We've looked at the gifts of peace with God and peace within, but what about peace without? What about the situations we can't change, the relationships that we think are just too far broken, the chaos that we can't calm, the hurts we just can't heal, the violence in the world around us, the separation even in our own nation, where people are pitted against each other? What do we do with the need for peace for our world? Well, we have to recognize that there's two parts to Advent. We're looking forward, just as the people in ancient days did, to the coming of Jesus, and we're celebrating that on Christmas Day. But we're also looking forward to his ultimate return as believers. We know that he came, but we also know that he's coming again. And Jesus spoke to his followers in John chapter 16. He wanted to make sure that they weren't stressed, that they weren't worried, that they weren't running in fear as he talked about leaving them. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When Jesus was here the first time as the Messiah, did he overcome the world? Did he overthrow Rome? He overthrew Satan, and he overthrew the spiritual darkness. He brought life, eternal life. He brought the Holy Spirit, and he brought peace with God, redemption, forgiveness of sins. But he's using this in the past tense. I have overcome the world. I've already taken care of all of the spiritual problems for you. I've overcome death. I've overcome the grave. So you can have peace, even when tribulation, even when trials are going on. They will happen. They will continue to happen until he comes back for the second time. The second time when he returns, well, there's another time in between with the rapture of the church, but when he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to stand foot on Mount Zion, to gather up his armies and once and for all defeat Satan, then the redemption will be complete. The world will be restored to its perfect original Eden, and heaven will come down to earth, and God will dwell permanently with his people. We'll have face-to-face relationship with God. We'll have that perfect peace. And so Jesus tells his disciples, don't worry about the things going on around you, because I've already taken care of all of that. That's one of the amazing things about our God, is he sees from the beginning to the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so he knows how the story ends, and he's reminding us of that. It's okay if things are hard right now, because I'm coming to fix all of that. We have to remember the peace, not only that God brings us in the present, but the peace that he's bringing in the future. It's like that process that Paul was describing in Philippians 4. When we return to God, when we renew our relationship with him, when we thank him for his blessings, and we remember that he's got it all in control, that's when peace comes back to us. So where is your chaos? Where are the battles going on in your life right now? Is it with people? Is it with physical pain? Let me encourage you that the Prince of Peace is greater than any of those problems. His peace is more powerful. And this is the peace that we long for as we celebrate the Advent season of waiting. Don't forget to recognize that we are waiting with longing for God's peace to return to make this world once again perfect. Let's remember that the peace of Christ is here with us now and waiting to not only impact our lives, but to spill out and impact the lives around us. Just as I've talked about so many times, that when we're filled with God's love, we're able to more readily show that to those around us. But when you rest in God's peace, you start bringing peace and strength to those around you too. When they see what God is doing in your life, they realize, here's someone I can go to. Here's someone I can talk to. Here's someone that really knows what's going on. That's part of the joy as a believer of being able to impact the world around us and to lead people into that same peace. This morning, if you've never accepted the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that's the real beginning to finding this peace. You will not have peace with God. You will not have peace within. You won't have perfect peace with your neighbor, with even your loved ones, until you have peace with God. And the only way we can have that is by recognizing our need for Him, humbling ourselves and saying, I am a sinner. I am separated from you, God, but I accept the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I accept His death in my place. It seems so simple, but until we recognize our need for Him, it's just knowledge in our head. And there's still a majority of people in our nation who would say, oh yes, Jesus is the Son of God. He's the reason for Christmas. But that's still just up here. Until in your heart you say, I need you, God. I can't do this on my own. I need a relationship with you. That's when it all changes. So I invite you to accept that gift this Christmas. If you've never done that, please stop and talk to me after the service or make time during the week to come talk to me. We also have a few gifts for you this Christmas. We've been talking about the Advent series for individuals and for families. Today is the last Sunday of Advent. So if you want to take time and sing and read some scriptures with your family, there are some resources on our website. And then the Right Now Media is a gift for this coming year. And if you haven't given us your email address, then you haven't gotten the invitation. Everybody who's sitting here, whether you're a member or a first-time attendee, we're offering that gift to you. It has Bible studies and all kinds of encouraging programming for adults, for kids, for teenagers, all different ages, and it's something that you can watch on your phone or on your TV or tablet. You can use it in so many different places. Stop by the Welcome Center and accept the gift. It's kind of like salvation. Until you say, I want this, you don't get it. So stop by and tell us you would like that gift. Mark is going to come and we're going to sing about that heavenly peace. But please pray with me as he comes. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are the God who loves us. You are the God with a plan. You didn't set the world in motion and then sit back and watch things spiral out of control and wish that there was something you could do. Right from the very beginning, you had a plan to redeem your creation. You had a plan to buy us back. And you were willing to send your own Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And Jesus was willing, as your Son, to come and to serve, to live, and to die. But he didn't stay in that grave. He rose again victorious over sin and death. Lord, I thank you so much for the gift of Jesus Christ that we celebrate at Christmas. I thank you for the gift of salvation and for the gift of eternal peace with you. A restoration of that perfect relationship. Lord, I pray for each one that's here this morning that as we have these last couple of days before Christmas, that we would be able to quiet our hearts and remember that our peace with you not only passes our understanding, but it is so much more lasting and so much more powerful than just that quiet moment that we might have. Now may the Lord of peace himself, our Savior Jesus Christ, give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.